Our season of Lent was preparation for our Easter Sunday celebration of Christ's resurrection. What an opportunity as we left on Easter Sunday to feel joy and a sense of deeper faith realization. We could describe this as a faith high, and hopefully we even feel a unique closeness to God through our 40 days of reflection. Continuing now, today's story starts on the first Sunday of Easter after Christ's appearance to Mary in the garden. Jesus goes to the upper room where the disciples are secure and locked in their fear of capture for their belief in Christ. It's rumored that Mary has shared her news with them, but still the disciples are fearful. Jesus appears. They observe Jesus' wounds as he addresses them in a usual Hebrew salutation of "Peace be with you." And in seeing, they believe. One disciple is missing. Thomas is missing. Is he late from work? Did he get caught in traffic? Did he stop at No Frills for milk and bananas? Did Thomas arrive late? Different stories on this presence or absence in the upper room on this day, but he was definitely late, if not absent altogether, on this date. The 10 eagerly shared with Thomas, "Thomas, you're just not going to believe this." Their exciting retelling of the event was evidently not convincing, because Thomas is very clear. "Unless I see it for myself and can touch his wounds, I won't believe." Was this a prank to emphasize Thomas's absence? Were they trying to play a joke on him? Were they telling him truthfully? Why didn't Jesus stay and wait for him? How disappointing. The others were in on something and he wasn't. He has a week to reflect on the events they describe, but Thomas did miss the meeting that clearly defined Jesus' presence, his power, the peace that he brought, the praises of the Lord, the promotion of the Lord for their future, and the provisions of the Lord. Thomas says, "Unless I see for myself and can touch his wounds, I won't believe." The next Sunday, Thomas was with them, and he still has not seen Jesus. They congregate in the locked room. Thomas was there hoping to see and experience Jesus this time. Jesus again attends them. Thomas was invited by Jesus to touch his scarred hands and feet and the wounds on his side. Thomas experiences Jesus' presence, and he touches the wounds and he believes. Jesus' words are particularly directed at you and I at this time and this place, April 28, 2019, and always. "Do you believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who do not see and believe." Do we have doubts? Most certainly. I share a story about a young woman. She went out for 50 years. She did some amazing things. But inside, she had doubts. She wrestled with her faith. She records that sometimes she even questioned the existence of God. Her lack of faith and inconsistent inner feelings of God really bothered her. Some may have even labeled her Doubting Teresa. We know her as Mother Teresa. We define her as saint-like. The pictures of Mother Teresa made me think she was so holy, so full of faith, and certain about her role. Someone to model in our world. In her sharing, we have more recently learned she was just like us. She was like Thomas. In our Protestant faith, we no longer canonize saints, but our Catholic brothers and sisters do, and Mother Teresa is very close to becoming a saint. She is beatified. Even with her doubting, she was found worthy for the title of saint. Does this give you cause to ponder? Can I measure up? Is my doubt a roadblock? Do I fall short? Can I be forgiven? Wow, I really shilly-shallied. Is there a way out of this conundrum? Am I redeemable? Why doesn't Jesus come to me when everyone else around me seems to have seen him? Our faith gets shaken. Is faith a continuous journey or a one-stop affair? And if so, it seems, I too have missed it. I feel ashamed of my doubt. I wonder that what Thomas was feeling that first week. Why couldn't he just accept what the others said? Why was it that he had to see for himself? And why was that so important? But in my humble opinion, he was really plucky, don't you think? I'm sure thoughts of not going back and feeling he wasn't part of them anymore was something that he had to wrestle with. He was a doubter, but he went back. I think he truly loved Jesus so much he just needed to hear them talk about their experience to help him be convinced it was true. In this hour of his greatest doubt, was he secretly hoping Jesus would come again just for him? Or was he feeling lonely and not a part of a group he cherished? Like you and I, he came back just like we come back week after week to our church family environment, even in our desert times. And that day Jesus came and Thomas believed. Jesus did caution in his teaching against false prophets. Have you heard of the spinach myth? Popeye is famous for eating spinach. I remember watching black and white cartoons as a kid on my grandmother's TV about the strength Popeye got when cracking open a can of spinach and gulping it down to gain enormous strength to conquer his adversaries. Popeye was employed by the U.S. government during World War II. To promote the idea of eating spinach. Meat was a rarity during the war, but spinach appeared to be a great substitute. But in 1890, German scientists had shown spinach to contain the same amount of iron as meat. Iron, of course, is the one essential mineral in building hemoglobin to strengthen and increase our blood oxygen to be distributed to our blood cells. The facts that were transcribed by these scientists were wrong. The German researchers did prove that spinach contained iron, but when the results were written down, they put the decimal point in the wrong place. They overestimated the amount of iron in spinach by a factor of 10. Unfortunately, the correction did not get across the pond until after World War II. This information is to emphasize how easily false ideas can quickly become accepted truths. This is not uncommon in the area of Christian belief. For Christians too quickly give unquestionable status to beliefs that may in fact have questionable origins. We should never be afraid to go back and ask, why is this true that we hold this particular belief or a particular interpretation of the Bible's lessons? Our investigation, sparked by a doubt, may prove it right, or it may show us we didn't have it correct. Either way, our investigation through questioning, understanding, and application of God's word will only improve our faith. Doubt can be the energy that propels us to a deeper faith. Shake us up. Push us out of our places of comfort and complacency into new and better faith paths. Doubt can be our passport to new life. Dear God, help us to know assuredly that doubt is not a sign of the absence of God, but of God helping in us to do something new. Emily Heath shares a lecture jewel from Jean Robinson, an Episcopal or Anglican bishop of New Hampshire. He was talking about the parting of the Red Sea and how the movie version in our head dramatizes Matthew lifting his arms and revealing the parting of the sea, the tumultuous sea, and looking directly and completely to the other side. Oh, a very dramatic scene. The reality, the bishop said, is more like this. The people put one foot ahead of the other into the water tentatively, and the water rolls back a little, and then they put another foot down, and the water rolls back a little bit more. And so on, until they found that they had safely reached the other side. It's the same with doubt. You don't see to the other shore, and you don't have to. God's already there, and God is with you in the waters. Doubt as much as you feel you need to, but leave just enough room for the faith that God will show you the next step. And just keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's the life of doubt, and that's the life of faith. Thank you. As I end your valuable time listening, continue to reap the benefit of deep breathing and relaxation to help you focus when your mind is a jumble. Get in tune with the most beautiful gift of you, God's blessing. Treasure what you have been given. Know that you are loved. Recognize your doubts as an opportunity to look for God as you make the next step forward. Let's pray. Dear God, your healing Son and the Holy Spirit within, take our unbelief and doubt and use it to strengthen our faith. Help us recognize the opportunity in these times of doubt to study your word, call upon you in prayer, and find the ways you reveal to us to move ahead with one foot ahead of the other and accomplishing our way to the other side. Teach us that it isn't important for us to know what is on the other side. God knows and guides our footsteps. Embrace us to faithfully recognize God's intimate friendship in all times, good and bad. Amen.